Philippians chapter 3. I'd like to consider this evening primarily two verses from the passage we have read together tonight, verses 13 and 14. There Paul addresses the believers at Philippi and says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Every sincere, conscientious Christian, I believe, will admit to two things. First, we will concede to past failure. That is, we will admit our failure to come up to the standard that God consistently looks for in His saints. We have, I'm sure, would confess, come short of the glory of God. And secondly, I believe that as sincere and conscientious believers, we would not be content to remain in our present spiritual state, whatever that state may be. We've been singing tonight. And as we have sung the words, would they not also have been the prayer of our hearts? My heart has no desire to stay. Where doubts arise and fears dismay, though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to live above the world. Though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. Surely the desire of every one of us tonight would always be, I want to scale the utmost height and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I have found. Lord, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lead me to a higher spiritual plane than I have ever gained before, than I've ever been to before. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. And even though we may at times be dissatisfied with our spiritual progress, that in itself is a good thing. It's always good to be satisfied or dissatisfied with our spiritual progress, because that dissatisfaction is essential to our spiritual development and spiritual life and spiritual ambitions. Because if we're dissatisfied with our present spiritual state, then we will have that desire. We will always have that desire for higher ground. We'll want to do better. We will want to get closer to the Lord. We will want to be more like the Lord. And this is what Paul is dealing with here in this letter to the church at Philippi. He's talking about gaining higher ground. He's talking about becoming more spiritual, more Christ-like. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth. He's reaching forth. He wants to go on. He wants to get to higher ground. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. I forget, I leave behind those things which are past, and I'm looking on, and I'm looking up, and I'm going on, and I want to go up. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul's talking about gaining higher ground in a spiritual sense. And oh, may we share the same spiritual ambition as Paul. May we desire higher ground. May we desire closer walk with God. May we also press toward the mark for the prize. That's the prize, higher ground. Christ-likeness, that's the prize. Press toward that prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. First of all, we have here in these words, the part of the apostle, an honest admission. An honest admission. Look there in verse 12. Paul says, not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. Paul's honest. I haven't attained. I haven't reached that prize. I haven't gained that prize. I haven't won that prize. I have not yet attained either. Am I already perfect? But I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended. Christ Jesus. Christ has laid hold on me. He has apprehended me. But I have not fully laid hold on Christ. I'm not talking about salvation. This is sanctification. So Paul said in verse 10, that I might know Him. Still wanting to know Christ. That I might know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Paul says, Christ has apprehended me, has laid hold upon me. But I have not fully laid hold on Him. I'm not so much like Christ as I ought to be. Here's His honest admission. What Paul was admitting to was, in a sense, his failure. I have not yet apprehended. He, of course, as we've already said, wanted to know Christ. And Paul felt then, as he wrote these words, that he had not come to that deep, earnest, deep-seated knowledge of the Lord. He's speaking of this Christ-likeness, and he is saying, up to this moment, I have not attained that Christ-likeness that I desire. And yet when you look at the epistles of Paul, you cannot help but see a Christ-likeness in the great apostle. We can see it in Paul. My, if we looked at Paul's life, and we would almost be tempted to say, Paul, your Christ-likeness would satisfy me. I wish I had the Christ-likeness that you have. And yet Paul was not satisfied. He wanted to be more like the Savior. He wanted to know more. He wanted to know a rising up, a resurrection from dead than carnal things. He wanted to be less like Paul, more like Christ. As John wanted to be less like the Baptist and more like the Savior. He was in search for that higher ground with God. This in spite of all that Paul had achieved. This is one of the wonders of Paul's life. You think of all that Paul had given up, all he had sacrificed, all that he had surrendered to the Lord. He mentions a whole host of things there in that third chapter. And here's Paul, and he's an aged man now at the time he wrote this epistle. And near the end of his days, it's still his prayer. It's still his longing. It's still his desire. It's still his holy ambition that he might know the Lord. That he might know more of Christ. Sacrificed, he has suffered, he has surrendered his all. Yet Paul sees and admits his failure. He says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." The word apprehended there means to lay hold upon. And the apostle is saying, "I have failed to lay hold on that Christ-likeness that I desire." He's saying there's still too much of self here. And too much of sin here. We noted that this morning, how Paul lamented his failures and his faults, and he lamented the sin that was in his flesh, and he cried, "Who will deliver me from the body of this death?" That was Paul's lament. But he was looking on to Jesus. He wanted to be more like the Savior. Oh, dear believer, tonight, oh, that we had the heart of Paul. That we also had that burning desire and burning ambition and holy ambition to be even more like Christ than what we are now. There's always more ground to be gained. There's more land, as it were, to be possessed. We must still desire the mountain. We must keep climbing the mountain and gaining higher ground with God. But then this honest admission brings something else into focus. It brings before us a great fact. And the fact is this, that this side of eternity, there is no perfection. This side of eternity, there is no sinless perfection. There is no complete eradication of sin. Rather, there is that continual battle with sin. That continual struggle. Paul says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." Paul admits that. He admits this fact, "I'm not perfect." That's something that those who claim sinless perfection would need to read. Are they saying they're better than Paul? Are they saying they've done more for God than Paul did? Paul says, "I am not." Maya Paul said that under inspiration. And where do the rest of us come in? There's no sinless perfection this side of eternity. Oh yes, we know that McShane prayed, and my, would we not pray with Robert Murray McShane, "Lord, make me as holy as it's possible for a saved sinner to be this side of eternity." That should be our goal. That should be our aim. That should be our prize that we press towards. We'll never gain sinless perfection here. The Lord Jesus taught that. Remember that day that the disciples came to him and said, Lord, teach us to pray. And as the Lord Jesus set before his disciples a pattern for prayer, what did he include in that prayer? He told the disciples to pray, forgive us our sins, for we that we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. That's what he taught his disciples to pray. Pray that the Lord will forgive your sins. So the Lord did not expect his disciples to be sinlessly perfect. The Lord Jesus recognized that there was sin in the lives of the disciples and they needed to pray for forgiveness. And my, how we also need to pray for that forgiveness day after day. We are not like Paul. We have not reached that point of perfection. Oh, it is our goal. It is our target. It is our desire. James, his epistle, chapter 3, verse 2, speaks of along the same lines. He says, for in many things we offend all. In many things, we are offenders. We offend the Lord in many things. The psalmist had prayed that he might be delivered and saved and cleansed and washed from secret faults. Those things, those sins that are secret sins. There are those sins that we commit in the eyes of God that we don't even know we have committed. Isn't that what Paul said? The sins that he committed against the church before his salvation, he said, I did them in ignorance. It's still sin. He may have committed them in ignorance, not knowing, but they were still sins. So it is with us as believers. There are those things that we do and say and we don't even recognize that they are sinful. They are sins of ignorance, but they're still sins. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20, for there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Not a just man. It doeth good. Oh, we are just. We've been justified in the eyes of God. And we bless the Lord for that. In the eyes of God, we've been declared righteous. God sees us as righteous, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. But Solomon says, there is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. We're justified, but we're still sinners. Sinners saved by grace. Paul acknowledges that. And Paul says, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. But I follow after. I'm still going on. I follow after. I seek that Christ-likeness. So we have not only with Paul and others, is also a holy aspiration. What did Paul aspire to? There in those verses, 12 and 13, Paul's holy aspiration, we see, was threefold. He wanted to make spiritual progress, reaching forth unto those things which are before, verse 13. He has already said in verse 12, but I follow after. I'm following. The Lord Jesus wants us to follow Him. He has called us, follow me. In and I will make you fishers of men. We're to be followers of Christ. That's what true disciples are. Followers of the Lord Jesus. We come under His discipleship. We come under His orders, His commands. We follow in His ways. We walk in His paths. And if we're following Christ, then we will be making spiritual progress. Paul says, I follow after. Or perhaps the words may be put, I am pressing on. The term is used in connection with a sporting event. I'm pressing on. In particular, with reference to running. We have that picture in our mind of the athlete. And he's running, he's pressing on, he's running towards the mark. And Paul sees himself as a spiritual athlete, pressing on down the course, determined to win the prize, determined to be more like the Savior. As far as Paul was concerned, that was his prize. What an ambition. What an aspiration to be like Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. Paul says, know ye not? They which run in a race, run all. But one receiveth the prize. So run, that ye may obtain, that ye may obtain the prize. Paul wanted to obtain that prize. I follow after. I press on. And again, there in verse 26 of the same chapter, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. Paul uses the term there that we're familiar with, shadow boxing. Paul says, I'm not shadow boxing, I'm not beating the air. Paul says, when I'm running, I'm running with the sole purpose of winning the prize. That's what he's saying to the believers, the saints at Philippi. I have not yet apprehended. I have not yet laid hold upon that Christ-likeness. But I'm going there. I'm pressing on towards that mark. That's my goal. That is my prize. Oh, believer, may it be our prize as well. May we have the same holy aspiration to be like the Savior, to be conformed into the image of His person. We sang there tonight, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Oh, may it be so. May it be so. May we gain new heights every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. It's the easiest thing in the world to be a nominal believer, a nominal Christian. Though it's a different matter to press on towards the mark. To be more like the Savior. Paul wanted that. And so may we, like Paul, be reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul's holy aspiration also involved a single purpose. Look at verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do. one thing. You look there, three words in italics in that little phrase. This I do. Now, whenever you set those aside because they're not in the original, it seems to highlight the two words, one thing. Paul is saying, but one thing. It seems to highlight that phrase, one thing. And that was what was on Paul's heart, one thing. This I do. What was he doing? One thing. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That's one thing I'm doing. I have many other duties, many other things I do, but this one thing is set before me. This one thing I have laid hold upon. I want to be more like the Savior. One thing. His burning desire. His burning ambition. Remember, it was the one thing which was lacking in Martha's life. For that day, the Lord Jesus came to that home in Bethany. Martha served. And the Lord Jesus spoke. The Lord said, one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. But Martha, that one thing is lacking in your life. Now when you think of that incident, we must commend Martha. There are many things that Martha did that were most commended. It was Martha who invited the Lord into the home. It was Martha who was busy. It was Martha who was preparing the meal. It was Martha doing all this work. Many things there in Martha's life were commendable. Yet one thing she lacked. That one thing Mary sitting at the Master's feet, hearing His word. Remember the rich young ruler. The Lord Jesus said to him, one thing thou lackest. Now when you look at that rich young ruler, once more, many things about him that were most commendable. When he saw the Lord, he ran. Would that men and women today would run to Christ. He ran and fell down before Him. That's commendable. He was an upright young man. He said he had kept the commandments. One thing was missing. One thing thou lackest, the Lord said. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Come, take up the cross and follow me. There it is again. Follow me. One thing is involved in each of these incidents. Both were lacking in the lives of Martha and this rich young ruler. But it was central in Paul's life. One thing. Brethren, I count myself to have, not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Dearly beloved tonight, may this one thing be in your life and in mine. This one thing. In Martha's life, it was the one thing that was needful. In the life of the rich young ruler, it was the one thing that was lacking. Paul's life. It was the one thing that he followed after to be like the Lord. May that one thing be central in our lives as well. May it not be needful, the one thing that's needful or the one thing that is lacking, but may it be central. Notice also, Paul speaks of a statute proposed. To realize this holy aspiration, Paul lays down a statute, a rule, which he endeavors to abide by. Verse 13 again, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Here's his rule. Forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul says, to realize my holy ambition, my holy aspiration, I must forget those things which are behind. And I must press on toward the mark. I must forget those things. And my, how the devil hasn't forgotten those things that are behind. Devil hasn't forgotten. And you and I know how he likes to remind us of those things that are behind. He likes to remind us of our old life. He likes to remind us of our past failures and our faults. He brings them before us. And my, as we were to concentrate upon them and dwell, hinder us as we seek to press on toward the mark. We must make it a statute. We must set it down as a law and abide by it. We must forget those things which are behind and press on toward the mark. What good, what benefit is there in remembering those things, those faults and failures that have gone by in past days? There's nothing to be gained. We must forget those things and press on toward the mark. Paul must not be hindered in any way if he's to reach his goal and receive his prize. We keep remembering those things of the past that will hinder us in our walk with God and in our spiritual progress. Remember Israel? No sooner had Israel been delivered out of the house of bondage than they began to look back. And they began to remember the flesh pots of Egypt. They hadn't forgotten those things that were behind. We need to forget about those flesh pots of Egypt. We need to forget about the flesh pots of sin. And we need to press on. Because if we don't, they'll hinder us in our walk and in our run with God. You remember Lot's wife? The Lord has told us, remember Lot's wife. We remember her for her looking back. We remember her for her looking back to what she had left behind. Genesis 19, verses 17 and 26. The Lord told, the angels told Lot and his family, look not behind thee. Don't look behind. But Lot's wife looked behind. The word look there refers to a look of great intensity, a longing look. And there's Lot's wife, and she's been brought out of the city. But she looked behind with that longing. She longed to be back in Sodom. And that proved to be disastrous. Many a professing believer has looked back to what they have been taken from. They've looked back into that cesspool that they've been delivered out of, and it has proved for them to be disastrous. slip back into that cesspool. Instead of looking on to Jesus, remember what the Lord said about the plowman? Putting her hand to the plow and looking back. Putting her hand to the plow, then looking back. You think of the man who plows a field, if you think of it in the context of Bible times, the oxen pulling the plow. He wouldn't plow a very straight furrow if he kept looking back. If we keep looking back, we'll not plow a straight furrow for God. And in the context of Paul's words here about looking back and being a runner and pressing towards the prize, my, if the athlete kept looking back, he wouldn't win the prize. He would be delayed in his race. So we can't afford to look back. We must look on. We must look forward. And we must look to Christ. We must do as Paul endeavored to do. I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Here's an honor achieved. I press toward the mark. Paul was pressing on for the prize of being like Christ. See here his target. I press toward the mark. And indeed the word mark there is the word for a target. I press toward the mark. I have a target in view. I have a goal in view. I have a goal before my eyes, and I'm pressing on toward that goal. I'm not looking to the left or to the right. I'm forgetting those things that are behind. And I'm pressing on toward the mark. Paul was aiming at this target. He had no earthly ambitions. He was not being distracted by worldly pleasures or accumulated riches. His target for which he was pressing on was to be like the Lord. Paul says in verse 7 of this chapter, But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss. Yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord. It's very personal, isn't it? Jesus Christ, not our Lord, but Jesus Christ my Lord. Here's Paul's personal relationship with his Lord and his Savior. And he's saying, Lord, I want to be more like Thee. I've given up everything. I've abandoned all. I just want to be like Thee. It's my ambition. That's the high ground I want to reach. For Jesus Christ, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, I did it for Him. For whom? I did it for my Lord, suffered the loss of all things, and to count them but dung that I may win Christ. That I may win Christ. His target, his triumph. Paul says, I press toward the mark for the prize. The high calling of God in Christ Jesus. For Paul, this would be his prize, his triumph. We see the joy in the faces of the athletes who are engaged in a race, and when they cross the winning line, and they receive the prize, they receive the gold medal, they have triumphed. And what joy fills their hearts. Paul says, that will be my joy. That will be my triumph. To be like Christ for the prize of the high calling of God in May we strive for this honor also. May we also strive after this prize. Then Paul makes reference to his termination. When his life's journey will be over, when he receives the calling from on high, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Day would come when Paul would be called away. And you and I will be called away. And then we shall receive the prize. Then we shall be like Christ. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. But it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. That's the price. We shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. Psalm 17, verse 15. The psalmist said, as for me, I will behold thy face and righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. I am satisfied then. Paul wasn't satisfied at the time he wrote this letter. He wanted higher ground. He wouldn't be satisfied until he had reached higher. Oh, when we see the Lord, we look into the face of Christ and we see Him as He is, we'll be like Him. We shall be satisfied when we awake with His likeness. Believer, let us strive after that higher ground. Let us press toward the high calling of our God, which is in Christ Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord and gracious Father, we thank Thee for men like Paul, men who counted all things but loss, that he might win. O Lord, how far behind Paul we are in the race of faith. How far behind this preacher is to Paul in the race of faith. How much higher up the mountain Paul is, and yet he still wasn't satisfied. O Lord, may we never be satisfied until we awake with His likeness. May that, Lord, be the sole thing that satisfies us, likeness to Christ. Dear Lord, we pray that as Thy people, Thou would give us, put in our hearts this holy desire, this holy ambition. Lord, to gain higher ground with God, to leave behind the deep valleys of this world, and, O Lord, to get to that land, that place where the air is pure and ethereal. Lord, answer prayer. Do a work in our hearts through Thy word. continue the work of sanctification. Thou make us more and more like the Savior. Gracious Lord, write thy word upon the fleshly tables of our hearts tonight. And O Lord, as we return to our homes now, may we do so with a conscious awareness that thou art with us. And may we look forward to being in the Lord's house again, once more to sit with our Savior, once more to hear His voice, once more by faith to look into His face. Lord, be very near to us. Every time we come to this house, be with us here. Be always, Lord, be one of our number. We ask these things in thy name, praying thy Lord, that the grace of the Lord Jesus, our Savior, might be our portion. And the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. We ask all these things, dear Lord, in thy name, and always for thy glory. Amen.